This morning, as we continue this series on worship, I would invite you to follow with me as we read from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, beginning at verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Every now and then, I take a look at Facebook, and every now and then I see something there that I want to remember. And this past week, I read a letter that was posted by a friend of mine on Facebook, and it made me stop and think about how we celebrate Mother's Day in the church. This letter was from a young woman to her pastor. And before she shares this letter, she asks her pastor to picture her coming to his office door, smiling and asking if she can take a few minutes. And then she says this. A few years ago, I sat across from a woman who told me that she does not go to church on Mother's Day because it is too painful for her. I'm not a mother, this young woman writes, but I had never seen Mother's Day as hurtful. This woman had been married and then divorced, and now beyond her childbearing years. And she said it was like rubbing salt in a wound to go to church on that day. The young woman said this made me sad, but I tried to understand. Fast forward several years to Mother's Day, and I was in church, she writes, and a pastor asked all the mothers to stand up, and on my immediate right, my mother stood, and on my immediate left, a dear friend stood, and there I sat, a woman in her late 30s, not married, no children. And I had such an empty feeling inside, she writes. I mean, the real women stood, but I just sat. Now, I don't normally feel this way, she continues. I don't like feeling this way. I don't want any woman ever to feel this way in church again. And then last year, a friend happened to visit me on Mother's Day, and again, we went to church. And again, the pastor, a different pastor, asked all the mothers to stand. And as a mother, my friend stood. And I whispered to her, "I can't take it. I'm just gonna stand up." And so she did. And my friend understood my standing. Now here's the thing, this woman writes. I believe that we can honor mothers in church without alienating others. And I want every woman in the church to feel welcome, appreciated, seen, and needed here. After all, she writes, we are the body of Christ. Now, reading this letter really spoke to me, especially as we continue in this series about worship and what happens when we come together on Sunday morning. Because what this young woman wants every woman to feel in church is really what we want for everyone in the church. We want everyone, regardless of who it is, to feel welcomed, appreciated, seen, and needed. As it says in number one in your notes, authentic worship really is an experience of belonging. Belonging is one of our deepest needs in life. And whether it's family, friends, coworkers, or a sports team, we have this inborn need to belong. To belong is to be an important part of something that is greater than ourselves, and all of us need that. Sadly, there are so many people in this world who have no sense that they belong. The world says to so many people, "You are not. You are not. We don't see you. We don't recognize you. We don't welcome you. You don't belong." And we could make a long list of people who have heard that. You are not. Neglected children. Elderly people who have been forgotten. Persons in our disability community and their families. Our homeless neighbors, refugees, maybe even you have had experiences in which you have felt overlooked, as if you have been made to feel like you are not. It's a painful thing. Now, if someone were to have made a list of people to whom the world says you are not back in the time when this letter was written, those in the church that Peter was writing to would have been on that list. Peter calls them exiles. And the people in this congregation have been forced from their home, their country, and have resettled as refugees in a different place. And if they could find employment at all, they had to take the jobs that nobody else wanted. These were people who didn't fit in, they didn't belong, and they were so vulnerable to prejudice and hostility. And Peter even says of them, "Once you were not a people." The world says you are not. A few months ago, Janice Bowen, our director of congregational care, shared this article with me that was entitled "Traveling on Unexpected Paths." And it made me think about these beleaguered believers that Peter was writing to. And it also reminded me of how vulnerable you and I are in this world. The author, Larry Kennard, writes, "It just takes a moment and life veers onto a completely different path. If you haven't had the vagaries of life hit you right square between the eyeballs, it will happen," he writes. A parent dies. A cancer diagnosis happens. A child gets broken. A job is gone. A stroke happens. And then he says, we are a delicate wonder, living in a haphazard bumper car world. I was kind of taken by that description about being a delicate wonder, living in a haphazard bumper car world. Perhaps at the amusement park, you've been in the bumper cars. I remember once when I was a Boy Scout and we went to Hershey Park, a friend of mine and I got in the bumper cars. And I was cruising along when all of a sudden my friend slammed into me. I didn't even see him coming. And he hit me so hard that it actually knocked my car over on its side. That's the truth. And I was just hanging there with this strap over my shoulder. And the man operating the ride, I don't think he'd ever seen anything like that. And he stopped it suddenly. And he ran out to me and he was yelling at my friend all the way. And then he turned my car right side up and I've been afraid of bumper cars ever since. You know, it makes all the difference in this bumper car world if we're connected to something bigger than ourselves, if we have a sense of belonging. And in a world that says you are not, the good news that Peter shares with the church and with us is that God declares you are. In verse 10, Peter writes these words that we all ought to read to each other this morning. And I would invite you to read them with me. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You know, whenever we gather for worship in the community of Christ, we ought to be reminded of those words. You belong. You belong. And as we look at what Peter writes here in chapter 2, we discover our belonging in a couple of different ways. First of all, worship reminds me that I belong to God. Authentic worship reminds me of who I really am in this world. I really am a child of God. Look at verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Peter describes God using a picture that you and I may not ordinarily think of when we think of God. He pictures God as a nursing mother. And long before Peter, the prophet Isaiah, writing to some other exiles in another time and place, uses this same picture of God. Isaiah 49. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. What a wonderful way to think of God, to think of our relationship with God. Is there a more intimate bond than the bond that exists between a nursing mother and a newborn infant? Isaiah and Peter tell us that God is as near to us as a nursing mother and her child. And that God loves us with an even greater love than a mother has for a newborn infant. Peter says, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk. You know, babies let you know when they're hungry. Day and night, they are relentless when they're hungry. They're restless. You can put a pacifier in, you can change a diaper, but if they're hungry, they're gonna keep on crying. Crying until they receive that life-giving nourishment. And as they do, they grow and become healthy. The psalmist has the same image of God and of us as God's children in Psalm 34. What a great invitation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in Him. Have you tasted the goodness of God? Have you yearned for it like infants yearning to be fed? You know, we can feast on the marvelous riches of God's grace in every day of our lives. But how sweet it is when we can come together on Sunday morning as sisters and brothers and feast on the riches of His grace together. Authentic worship reminds me of who I really am as a child of God. I belong to God, and in God I find life. Now, as we continue on in this passage, Peter says, I don't just belong to God. He also says, I belong to the community of Christ. Authentic worship connects me to the community of Christ. Look at verse 4. Come to Him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Here's another powerful picture from Peter. He calls Jesus a living stone. And he says that when the stonemasons involved in this world's building projects were gathering up the stones, they rejected Jesus. He didn't fit their image of success and power. He wasn't what they thought a king should look like. They said to Jesus, "You are not." And they crucified Him on a cross and buried in a borrowed tomb. But Peter reminds us that Jesus is not stone cold dead. He is a living stone. And the one that the world rejected, he said, is chosen and precious in God's sight. He is the cornerstone. He's the one from which every other living stone is lined up. And when we come to Jesus, he says, we get connected. We become living stones. And what a magnificent house we are built into when we are connected to Jesus. The great 20th century preacher Fred Craddock once told a parable about church builders who built a church in which every stone was the same exact size. And the church, Craddock said, could not withstand a violent storm, and it crumbled and fell. And then another builder decided to construct a different church and took stones of different shapes and sizes and colors. How could such a church survive, he asked. Well, strong cement was mixed and applied between the stones, and when the wind blew and the storm rose, this church stood firm. What a wonderful picture of the church. Each of us a living stone. No two of us alike, and yet we are bonded together in remarkable ways by the strong cement of love. Love is the cement that bonds stones of all shapes and sizes together. It's all about love. In the letter that I saw on Facebook, the author encourages pastors to help all women feel the love of Jesus on Mother's Day. And one way to do that is to acknowledge the unique and varied experiences of every woman that is part of the community of Christ. And I want to share with you some of the things that this young woman included here. And as I read them, I want each and every woman who is in the sanctuary this morning to know how important you are. That you are loved. To those who gave birth to a child this year, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experienced the loss of your mother this year, we mourn with you. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we care for you. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those who are single and perhaps who want your own children, we love you and walk with you and celebrate you. To those who are step-parents, we walk with you on these complex paths. To those who envision lavishing love on grandchildren, and yet it's a dream that is yet to be, we're with you. To those who have placed children up for adoption, we commend you, and we remember how you hold that child in your heart. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate you. This Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you, every one of you. We love you, and you belong. You belong to God. You belong to the community of Christ. You are a child of God. You are a living stone in the spiritual house that God is building. Peter describes us using this wonderful affirmation of who we are. And then he tells us of one more way of belonging. Authentic worship calls me to join in God's world-changing mission. Look again at verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. According to Peter, God thinks a whole lot of all of us. He calls us chosen. He says you are royal, you are holy, you are God's own. God thinks so much of you that God has chosen you to join in this great mission of loving the world. God has chosen us to proclaim God's mighty acts. And what's the best way for you and me to do that? Well, Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:48, he says, "Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete." I wonder, is there someone in your life today that needs to be reminded of how precious they are to you, to God? Someone that perhaps the world has said too many times, you are not. Someone that you, as part of the community of Christ, as one who is among those who know who they are, that you might remind them that they are precious and chosen and loved. As we celebrate this Mother's Day, may every woman here know how precious you are. And every man and child as well. Every one of us belongs. Here we are in this place where we belong because Jesus loves us.